Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, actor and disability advocate Robert David Hall.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical it guests Robert David Hall shine. With Judith Stearns Hall and Ken Dyfick. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I have been so excited about this show. This show is groundbreaking. And I'm not just talking about the Life Changes show. I'm talking about this particular episode in particular. And it's interesting that a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how as children, we have to be taught to be prejudiced. Otherwise, we wouldn't be. So those who want us to grow up to be prejudiced have to teach our children that. And I was thinking back, I was not taught that by my parents, by any stretch of the imagination. As a matter of fact, they were go out of our way, their way, to make sure that we weren't prejudiced people. But by children in school and by maybe even teachers in the society that I grew up with, there was prejudice at the time, and I was being taught that whether I knew it or liked it or not. Well, interestingly enough, when it came to disabled people, my parents, God bless them, thought I should be extra kind and feel sorry for them. And not my parents, but teachers and all would say things like, when you're down on yourself, think about those people, and then you'll feel good about yourself. And as I look back at it as an adult and as a life coach now and as the many people we've interviewed and the different things that we've learned and how it's really time to think about all this differently, I remember a couple things, like, The think about those people that you could feel sorry for them and then you could feel better about yourself. I don't know that that would make me any more feel better about myself. I don't know that it ever did. However, when I helped people, I felt better about myself. But today, I've gotten inspired in so many more different ways. And thanks to our guest, I was able to see if I could help somebody do great things, no matter what their disability. Not only do I feel better about myself, but about what we do, and we all feel better together. And I thought, wow, helping people do good things is just a good thing. So that feels better to me. The other thing I was reminded that we did, Mark and I did an interview in front of a group of children with a paraplegic. And I remember how the paraplegic person was saying how he wished people could just see him as a normal person. And then Mark and I went into the audience of children and with our microphone asked who had a question for our guest. And one of the children, I'll never forget this, said, "What was your favorite movie?" And it caught me off guard, and I got emotional as I stood there holding the microphone that this child saw this person as a person and not as someone sitting in a wheelchair without legs and someone to be pitied or someone to be asked about, how do you put your pants on? He asked him, "What was your favorite movie?" Because this is where I want to relate, in other words, and I want to talk about my favorite movie. I want to see if you're like me or if we have whatever that child was thinking at that moment changed my life. And I want to take a page out of that child's book. And today we're going to be talking to not only a person, but a wonderful person, a wonderful actor, and someone who has done some amazing things on screen and potentially even more so off screen. It's Robert David Hall, and he's our guest and our musical guest, along with Judith Stearns Hall and Ken Dyfick, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and there I did it again. I almost got emotional. Like, it's like a big aha.
It's a big aha, and so many ahas. I was thinking as you were talking about how a lot of the TV that our kids grew up with now has become even more and more desensitized to how we treat each other. And you know, I know there's been, you know, some of the rhetoric in the political domain about, you know, disabled people. And I know there's a lot that goes on with these kids programs about all sorts of different types of people and challenges and a lot of things said in jest, you know, joking, quotes in the air, joking. And I think there's so much that's desensitized that too much has become acceptable, then shining a light back on, you know, some of the issues that just are simple, you know, pointing back towards doing good for each other. You know, it's a slippery slope. So I'm really, really proud to be a part of this conversation today, and so much looking forward to what we're going to learn.
Me too. And thank you so much to Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for introducing us to this great man. He, of course, is known to many as Dr. Albert Robbins, MD, on CSI, Crime Scene Investigation, CBS's number one top series. And it's been going on for 16 years. He's been part of it since the very beginning. As a matter of fact, the original CSI. He has received awards and been nominated for awards. And yet, interestingly enough, to me, I feel like his greatest job is the advocate for so many things. And at this point, disabled people. We'll talk more about all of that with our guest. And welcome to Robert David Hall. Thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure. My friends call me David, so okay. If you want to call me David, that's right. Fine, or Dave.
Welcome, David.
Happily. As soon as I was done with the monologue, you had something, you know, you started to nod and all that. What was going through your head?
Well, when I first became disabled 38 years ago, people who were disabled were called handicapped. Mm. And then they were called handicapable. And then they were called the disabled. And then they were called, finally, people with disabilities. Mm. The important thing to me is not to be you people, but to be people. I love the kids, your remark about the kid who asked the quadriplegic what his favorite movie was. Kids and drunks are really honest, you know? They'll go, what the hell's wrong with you, man? And kids will go, I've spoken to some elementary school classes, and they go, do you sleep with those prosthetic legs on? Mm. Does it hurt? They, you know, they're really, they ask good questions. Wow. Is it weird for your son? You know, I mean, they want to know, from their point of view, what it's like.
Yeah.
Their parents are always shushing them.
Yeah.
But it's I don't know that I would have chosen being disabled as the life lesson, but I don't know that we get to choose our life lessons. Mm-hmm. I think they choose us. Mm.
Well, either you chose, what you chose to do with it. That's the thing.
Right. Well, I didn't want to be stopped. From a very young age, I loved music and movies and reading, and I was the little kid who would watch the old Ed Sullivan Show and just be fascinated by everybody, the musicians, the comics, the plate spinners.
So you spin plates, right?
Yes, I spin plates and juggle and no, I just loved show business. It was something that got to me. And I was from a very professional family. There are nothing but naval officers and lawyers and doctors in my family. And I became the black sheep. They didn't, you know, Davey will grow up sometime. It was what my aunts and uncles thought. But I guess I never did, you know. That was, and when I was injured, I thought, I was involved in an accident back in 1978. A drunk truck driver ran me over on the San Diego freeway, and my little foreign car exploded, and I was burned over 60% of my body. And it necessitated the amputation of both my legs, one above the knee and one below. Right. And I spent off and on 7 months in the hospital and ultimately learned how to walk on prosthetics pretty well. And I think I had 20 plus surgeries to, you know, restore my face and hands and everything. And I was very fortunate. It's funny. I was brought up. My grandmother had multiple sclerosis. My brother is legally blind. My sister's a type 1 diabetic. And my mom died of cancer at a pretty young age. I never thought of anybody as disabled. I thought of them as Bruce, mom, grandma, you know. Mm. So I was sensitized early on to not see it as a freaky difference. Mm. So when I became disabled, I wasn't dumb. It was life-changing, chaotic, confusing, all of those things. But I was working in radio at the time. I was playing in a band at night. I was taking acting lessons. I had no idea what I wanted to do when I grew up, and I was 30 years old already. I'd been, you know, playing music with bands, and I had just started a radio career. So as soon as I was able to get out of the hospital, I went back to my radio job. And people were freaked out, you know, oh, my God, what's he doing here? And it didn't affect my voice. I was very fortunate that my voice wasn't injured and my mind, you know, was okay. I was just a physical mess, but I got stronger and I got better. Mm. And a man from Los Angeles who was the program director of a big radio station was driving through this little town I was working at, and he heard me and invited me to audition for LA. And, you know, I passed the audition.
You know, that is an important note for people that don't know. It's not as if you were acting or were famous. Hit show at the time, and then you just went back. You went to Hollywood. You auditioned.
Well,
after
I had
the
studied acting in college at UCLA. I'm a UCLA grad, as is my wife Judy. But I don't know that I loved music more than anything. That was my passion, but I loved acting as well. Because it's a form of expression. When I was injured and burned and lost my limbs, my well-meaning friend said, well, you can't do that anymore.
Right.
And I'm half Irish, and when somebody tells me I can't do something, it makes me want to do it even more. And that's kind of what happened. But it's not enough to have all these pipe dreams. I got the radio job. And I started meeting a lot of people with disabilities who liked the show. It was a station called KNX-FM in Los Angeles, a very popular place in its day. But I met some people who turned me on to an acting coach named Gordon Hunt, Helen's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And Gordon, I studied with Gordon for 12 years, and he just passed away. He's a wonderful man and changed the lives of a lot of his students. But, you know, it's still about competition. I can't believe, looking back at my age, that I was so competitive, because it's not just like, oh, you're beautiful, you're handsome. Beautiful, handsome people are a dime a dozen. But talent and focus and ambition, I guess, are part of what I wanted to be part of the story, of whatever the story was.
You're forging a story. You are forging a story. And More power to you. I want to talk about that and something else that I've heard in other interviews with you, and I'm hearing it over and over again in this interview here today. You have a sense of gratitude and thankfulness that is unbelievable. I want to know about that as well, and well, so many more when we come back.
Sure.
Right after this with our guest, Robert David Hall, and a little later on, his music with him and Judith Stearns Hall and Ken Dyfick on The Life Changes Show.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Robert David Hall, who, of course, is known as Dr. Albert Robbins on CBS's CSI.
You know, CSI is over. It ran for 16 years, which is a miracle.
Is it in reruns?
For an actor. Oh, it's in reruns.
Yes, and it will be in reruns for a while.
I hope for a long, long time.
16 years. Amazing. Amazing. And so we were talking about something amazing to maybe more amazing, because I don't meet very many people that talk about gratitude for their life, for their experiences. And here you have reason to not.
There's so many people. I would be not only remiss but foolish not to mention my wife, who I'm very grateful for. I'm grateful for my son, who I love dearly. He's 35, Andrew. Mm. But I have some obvious people I'm grateful. I'm grateful to the paramedic who scraped me off the freeway 39 years ago. Mm. I'm grateful to the doctor who saved my life. I'm grateful especially to all the nurses who took care of me for so long. And I'm friends with some of these people today because I didn't want to lose them. You know, it's a... And I'm really fortunate. I think the greatest thing my parents did, and I love my mom and dad memory, they're both gone, but all five of the kids, I'm the eldest of five, we all love each other, care about what happens, and that's a lot about how you're raised. Mm. And, you know, it's not a perfect, I don't want to be too Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm here, but...
I can't imagine it's perfect, so...
I'm so grateful for my one sister and my three brothers, and I have some pretty cool and strange cousins and things. But I've had a charmed life in the fact that I've got a lot of friends, and boy, there's nothing like almost dying to have your friends show up. And mm-hmm. I learned a lot about acting because I was wrapped up in bandages like the Michelin Man, and I had tubes coming out of every orifice in my body. And your friends would come and they'd knock timidly on the door and the nurse would let them in and they'd look at you. And some of them I could tell wanted to barf. And others of them were trying to be, you know, really strong.
Tough it up, huh?
Others were going, well, you know, God will help you. And others were going, I could tell just by the way they were looking at me that they were, you know, oh, God, I'm glad it's him and not me. You know,
wow.
I mean, there's all
you were thinking this while you were lying there, or you thought about it after?
My mind worked fine. It was just my body that was messed up. We're spirit and intelligence and all that stuff. I mean, I don't know. I do remember that I was in horrible pain.
Sure.
But the body doesn't retain the pain from 39 years ago. I know that I would, if it were possible, I never want to go through that again, but I know that it happens. And so I'm grateful for healing too.
Mm. Wow.
It's just, I was mentioning to you and Mark during the break that sometimes we're grateful for things that seem like horrible things. My accident has given me a lot of insight into things I probably never would have figured out.
Oh.
And I think of my dad, because he always used to say, there's always someone who's got it worse and better than you. This goes back to your monologue at the beginning, because a couple of my dear friends are quadriplegics. And I remember as a young man thinking, oh, that's the worst thing that could possibly be. These people are talented. They have incredible senses of humor. And yeah, let's get real. Nobody, our senses, our intellect, our ability to learn and, you know, love and everything else is a critical part of being a human being. And when you lose those things, it's, you have to adapt. But ultimately, we'll all have to adapt anyway. I just had an earlier start on it than a lot of other people. And my friends and the people I've met along the road have been invaluable in teaching me how to do that. And I have a few tricks up my sleeve too.
I have a great expectation that you have other things that you're going to be doing that will continue to inspire us. I think on the acting front, of how many people that want to be actors that say, oh, I'm not, like you said earlier, I'm not handsome enough, I'm not pretty enough, I don't have the right body, or whatever it is that keep them from doing it. And somehow there was something inside of you that said, I'm the right guy.
Well, it seems like delusion at the beginning, but you know, acting isn't, a lot of things aren't for the faint of heart. You have to say to yourself, this is what I'm going to do, and I will do what it takes. And there's no guarantee, and you can be slick and tricky, you can have all the education in the world, and there's still a little bit of luck involved with it. But more than that, it's just sort of becoming metaphorically naked and letting other people know what it is you want to do and then what you can do.
Well, what it is you want to do, I would think that whenever it was that you started, was it 30 years ago or 20-something years ago?
I had studied acting in college and had done a couple of college plays. But I really started rather late. I was 30 when I was injured, 32 when I started working in radio in L.A. That's about when I started working at acting. So I got a late start.
So here you were older than, you know, the people that usually get started in acting in Hollywood's, and you also have lost your legs. And so the jobs available, or forget the jobs, the auditions available.
There aren't many.
And there weren't.
You know, the
there
first,
still aren't.
The first movie role I was ever offered came about because one of my cousins was a production designer working for Roger Corman. And they were doing a movie and they needed somebody to be swallowed up by a monster on the beach. And luckily, I said, I don't think I want to make my debut in a film doing that. So
I don't mean to laugh.
But well, the $5,000 seemed like all the money in the world.
You just swallowed up.
But I didn't go for it. So.
Oh, wow.
But I've done some, all actors have done some pretty bizarre things on the road to wherever they end up.
Well, and the parts, like on CSI, you played a normal quote-unquote doctor, but
before, semi-normal, yeah.
A little quirky, a little. But before that, the parts were.
When I was younger, I always played the angry disabled guy. Hmm. I was somebody was using the bathroom stall, or I was a Vietnam vet who was angry at the world, and I had to be saved by the hero of the show. Some of those shows were really stupid. But I got a lot of experience. I learned my craft. I learned how you make a show. I got some notoriety and I got a few film roles. And the film stuff was incredible. I got to work with Gene Hackman and Kevin Spacey and Lawrence Fishburne and a lot of great people. And I still think I have things to learn and to contribute. So it's a... The great thing about acting is the past is wonderful, but the present and the future are the most important things.
Interesting. And there are so many parts that a person with a certain kind of disability, whether they can't see or whether they can't hear or whether they don't have the use of their limbs. That you were making a point that we were talking earlier before the show, how we could still think. You could still be the smart guy. You could still be the lead, technically.
And I have no legs, but I have prosthetic legs. And my wife tells me to take the dog out for a walk.
Just the same as she would.
Yeah, and we both take the trash in. And I go to the market more than she does, I think. But it's, you know, we're human beings. We have... I enjoy a good dinner at a nice restaurant and a movie out. And I like to travel. And it's... a little different than perhaps it might be for you, but it's not that different. You know, we all have basic desires. I remember when I was first injured and out of the hospital, nobody wanted to talk about sex. Nobody wanted to talk about, you're somewhat diminished now and blah, blah, blah. Hey, that still works. You know, hey, I'm a human being. I want to, I want to be part of this world. I don't want to be locked up and put aside. And they used to do that, too. They used to put people with various disabilities in a box, so to speak, you know, selling pencils. And you'd be good working at the sewing factory. We'll just lock you away and... It's a different world. And part of it is because of the ironic nature of war. You know, we have better prosthetics because guys lost their limbs and lived in Vietnam. Mm. So we had to give them better prosthetics. And the young men and women now who've served in Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan, they don't want to come back and be shelved away. They want to participate in life. And it's they're making it – they're shining a light on the fact that all people with disabilities or the majority of people with disabilities want to participate, be a part, and have the respect and the joy that's possible for anybody.
You know, I'm sitting here smiling. I'm thinking that in this very room, you have been a voiceover artist for many years with Brent Hahn as the engineer and
Brent
also
and Ron McCoy.
And I know, and I see him peering in the window from the room.
I love Ron McCoy because he helped me do my first cartoon animation tape, and he sat there and put up with me just exploring and trying to find stuff. And if I could get Ronnie to laugh, I knew I had something going. So it's a good thing.
Well, when I noticed that he was peering in, I thought, wow, this is special on so many levels, because here we are talking about how you like to be treated as a person or how people with disability can be treated as a person. And a very fine example is we have Brent Hahn and Ron McCoy in here who worked with you like a person with a voice, well, and a voiceover artist, and not.
I am something like a person with a voice. I don't know.
Okay, that was for them. I see yeah. them laughing. You know, when we come back, I do want to spend a couple minutes on talking about some of your advocacy. Obviously, sure. we've heard a lot of it already and how important it is.
Sure.
Obviously, there need to be more changes, and I believe you'll be on the forefront of that. And then when we come back, also, we're going to incorporate talking about your music, getting to hear about your music, and getting to be joined by Judith Stearns Hall and Ken Dyfick.
And, we're looking forward to it.
It's going to be exciting, and it already is. So join us back in just a minute here on the Life Changer Show right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Robert David Hall. And what a conversation we've been having. I don't want this to end. I do want to talk a little bit about your advocacy, and then
sure.
we're going to get into your music. So tell us.
Well, advocacy happened because, almost because it presented itself. I was on the radio. I was a person with a disability, and there weren't many people with disabilities. In fact, there weren't any in radio at the time, and I was the first disabled music director on air person that they'd ever had at CBS.
Wow.
So they trotted me out a lot as their disabled
and that's
talent.
Good and bad.
It's good
right?
and bad. I mean. But because of a little bit of success in my business, and because of the disability advocacy, I've had incredible opportunities. I've spoken at the United Nations twice. I've introduced the president at the White House for the Americans with Disabilities anniversary. I've rung the bell at the Stock Exchange, and I've played music at the Grand Ole Opry. So, sometimes being the odd duck gets you noticed. And the thing is, it's not enough to be weird or odd or different. You have to entertain, or you have to be able to speak
talented,
or
sure.
present
yeah.
yourself. So I'm proud of my accomplishments, but you know, they came because of a lot of things falling into place, if that makes sense. So I'm, you know, that almost gets us back to the gratitude thing.
Right. I was about to say, I think things fell into place probably because you were in a good place for them to fall into.
Well, that's true. It's. I am still amazed at how fast the train can go sometimes.
Mm.
You know, I've met some amazing people in my life. And as we talked about earlier, I'll probably remember the nurses at the hospital and my cousin, weird cousin Woody, and, you know, my friends. The day-to-day real, quote-unquote, real life you have, it's more important to me than the showbiz jazz.
Mm.
But, I mean, there's a lot of great people I've met that I've worked with, and I don't have a whole lot of stories about rotten people because I've been lucky to mainly meet decent people. CSI was loaded with great, great people. There are a couple of ringers, but the, you know, by and large, you work with 200 people, and I'm still friends with a lot of my castmates. So
nice. I'm just really taken by the way you talk about it all, and it's not just right now on the air. It was before the show. It was on the phone. It was, you know, and other people talk about you like this too. So, what a story.
I paid him a lot, you know, to do that.
That's where all your money's gone.
That's where all my money goes. I want people to say nothing but really great things about me.
No. Everybody's laughing because they either know it's true or they think it's funny.
No, I so appreciate.
Your wife's laughing, so she does she know that we don't
good.
Know.
If I got my wife to laugh,
she has a nice, bright smile on. So.
Well, she'll be joining us. She can tell us all what she wants to tell us when she joins us here in the studio. But before we go on to our musical segment with also Robert David Hall, we want to take a moment to have our Ask Dorothy segment, which is always a favorite segment here on the show. So, Mark, you also have some things to say before we do that.
Absolutely. We have a couple of quick shout-outs before our Ask Dorothy segment. We want to recognize and want you all to check out and follow the Hug Alliance, who's launching their next event. You can go to hugmob.com or check them out via Eventbrite at Hug Our Pets. And the celebration brings attention to the unconditional love and power of heart connection that pets are often best at supplying. And this is also in honor of the launch of the children's book, The Hug Store, by Rick and Shanna Morrison. So check out thehugmob.com and join the hug fun. Also want to give a shout out again to our very own Studio NoHo and Brent Hahn, the award-winning recording, designing, mixing of radio spots and producer of original music. Go to studio-noho.net.
And wonderful songwriter.
And wonderful song.
Oh, I don't think he wanted anybody to know that.
But. That's the good news about being live. All right, we're on to Ask Dorothy. And Dorothy, Mike from Los Angeles asks, why am I afraid of doing the things I know I need to do to get ahead each day?
Good question. Way too often people are afraid of success, although most think of this as being afraid of failure. Failure is like an old, comfortable, worn-out pair of shoes. We know how they feel, and we often know failure well, and so our familiarity with it is frequently the true cause of procrastination. Sometimes it appears to be easier to stay in comfortable misery than to move forward, not knowing how things will turn out. We have so many programs installed in us by our parents and society that often we believe that we aren't meant to succeed. As children, we're often told, you will never amount to anything. This is said and done to try to get us to try harder, and instead it often becomes a mantra that leads to self-defeat. It all comes down to us truly loving ourselves enough to move forward in confidence and without fear. When we love ourselves, we find ways to do the things we need to do in order to succeed. Personally, this was a very real challenge for me until I told myself over and over this. I love myself enough to always do the things I know I need to do. This phrase works because our higher self knows what it is we need to do. And as we use this phrase to remind ourselves of this truth, our lives change for the better.
I know what I need to do. Well, in my case, unfortunately, I need to take us on to a break because this show is coming to an end, but not before we get to enjoy the music of Robert David Hall. And he's going to be joined by Judith Stearns Hall and Ken Dyfick here in the studio as soon as we come back here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater.
What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course our guest, Robert David Hall. We've been talking about him as an actor and as an advocate, and now we're going to talk about his music. Before acting and before the accident and all that, there was David the musician.
I played the French horn in elementary school and junior high, and behind my parents' back, traded it for a guitar when we moved to California.
Oh, wow.
And I think French horn is grateful that I did that. So.
And is being hopefully well used elsewhere.
Yes.
So you also have been writing your own songs.
Yes.
And you write about things that seem to be important.
To me, they are.
Yeah.
I had promised myself for years and years I would finish some of the scraps of songs. And my youngest brother's passing kicked me in the butt to do that. Mm. And then my wife encouraged me and I went down to Austin, Texas. Ken, Judy came with me and my best friend, Chris Wall, produced it and it got some nice response.
Well, very nice. Are we actually going to hear something from the CD?
Yeah, I'll start and play the title song with Ken, and then Judy will join me for a couple more.
Oh, okay. Well, so Ken Dyfick is going to be playing the harmonica, and he's going to be accompanying Robert David Hall live here at Studio Noho on the Life Changes Show, performing
Things They Don't Teach You in School.
Things They Don't Teach You in School.
My boy doesn't ask for much, maybe money once or twice. I preached about education, but he never took my advice. Said there are things they don't teach you in school. So many things they don't teach you in school. Learn them on your feet, out there in the street. So many things they don't teach you in school. Knowledge may be power, you can learn it from a book. Get your degree, get your PhD, but you still might be a crook. 'Cause there are things they don't teach you in school. No, 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 no. So many things they don't teach you in school. You learn them on your feet, out there in the street. So many things they don't teach you in school. Ken Dyfick. I ain't knocking education. As far as it goes, it's fine. You look real cool in your cap and gown, waiting in the welfare line. There are things, things they don't teach you in school. No, 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 no. So many things, things they don't teach you in school. You learn them on your feet, out there in the street. So many things they don't teach you in school. You learn them on your feet, out there in the street. So many things they don't teach you in school.
Robert David Hall, right. Things They Don't Teach You in School, accompanied by Ken Dyfek. Ken, I think this is the first time we've had a harmonica in the studio, so it's very special. What a day of firsts. so great. For those of you who want to know more about Robert David Hall's music, actually, you could just go to exactly that, robertdavidhallmusic.com, and there you could learn about his CD and where he's performing next. And actually, you got a performance coming up April 2nd here in Los Angeles. Is that still happening? No?
I am.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Maybe.
Are you my new manager? I love
yes,
it.
Yes, I just wanted to tell you. And then I'll keep working on the bookings for
you. Please, thank you.
Well, if there were a performance on April 2nd, what else might they hear?
Well, we're going to do a song right now that I spoke of my father earlier, and I wrote this one for my dad, and Judy's going to join me and Ken as well on this one. So it's called Wishes.
Now, of course, Judy is
my wife.
Is David's wife. Judith Stern Hall is joining him on the cello, again with Ken Dyfek on harmonica. Here is Robert David Hall performing Wishes live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
Wish I knew you better when I was just a boy, and you knew me when I became a man. Sad you weren't around to know your daughter and your sons, but wishing can't bring back what time has done. If wishes were horses, then beggars would ride. If peasants wore silver crowns, they'd all be kings. If wishing upon a star made dreams come true, I wish that all your wishes had come true. I'd like to build a time machine set for 1945. Be with you in the Navy on your fighting ship. If I had been your comrade, known your bravery and wit, I'd never have to dream an ounce of it. In some ways you're the smartest man I've ever known. I know you loved your wife, adored your kids. I know the struggles that you kept inside for all these years have made me stronger as I've lived my life. If wishes were horses, then beggars would ride. If
peasants wore silver crowns, they'd all be kings and queens. If wishing upon a star made dreams come true, I wish that all your wishes had come true. Maybe I'll give up on all this dreaming and face the life I have the best I can. I'll do my work and try not to deceive myself. Then maybe in the mirror, sometime in the mirror, I'll see a little piece of my old man. If wishes were horses, beggars would ride. If peasants wore silver crowns, we'd all be kings and queens. If wishing upon a star made dreams come true, glad that I could sing this song for you.
Robert David Hall and Wishes. You have touched all of my emotional buttons today. In a very
Filippo.
Good way.
David.
We need a whole nother show.
Wow. I mean, a song written for somebody's father, that we don't hear enough of that. So thank you so much for presenting that to us today. And I know that you were so gracious to want to present a third song. So I'm going to stop talking because I'd love for that to happen. So again, RobertDavidHallMusic.com is where you could learn more about his music. And so on that piece and this coming piece, he was accompanied by Ken Dreyfick on the harmonica and Judith Stearns Hall on the cello. And so here we have Robert David Hall once again performing live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo. His song?
This is called It Just Is.
It Just Is.
Life is something you can't explain. It just is. Imperfect passion and absolute pain. It just is. Most of our days are spent in the middle. Too many tears, too many riddles. Your time's better spent if you give back a little. It just is. It just is. Try to forget, it just is. They wish they'd been kinder to the young girls they met. It just is. You just get one chance, one roll of the dice. Your piece of the pie is one thin slice. You better accept it, the end isn't nice. It just is. It just is. There's a time in your life when you know everything, it just is. You bounce back from sorrow, you feel like a king, it just is. But time and the mirror take these things away. You're grateful to wake up, get a new day. Hope that your friends are still doing okay. It just is. It just is.
Wow. Thank you so much, Robert David Hall. Again, remember, go to robertdavidhallmusic.com and see if he's performing April 2nd or not and where else he might be performing. In the meantime, wow, what a show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Dorothy, amazing. Mark, wow. Filippo, what a pleasure.
What can one say? Thank you. Thank you. And thank you also for bringing your friends, your dear friend and wife, Judith Stern Hall and Ken Dyfick here as well. Thank you again to Brent Hahn, most specifically, for not only making us all sound so good, but for introducing us to this great man. What a pleasure this has been.
Thank you, Brent. I'm so sorry
to see the show end, but I should be grateful, as we have learned today, for what we did have and what we do have.
Yes.
And we will always have this and so much more. So with that, I'd like to also give a big shout out and thank you to Doug Newsom at BBS Radio, our program manager. On behalf of Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, and Mark Leisure, our producer, and myself, Filippo Voltaggio, your host, as your life changes like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.